may become an annual thing, I don't know. But Chris Boward thinks that I need to do this. Chris, you want a mic up? You just want to listen to me sing today? I think you know this one. You can respond however you want. If you want to stand up, that's fine. If you want to sit there, that's fine. But I think you know this song. If tomorrow all the things were gone, for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife, thank my lucky stars to be living here today, cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand next to you and defend us still today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee and across the plains of Texas and from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to LA, with this pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand next to you and defend us still today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand next to you and defend us still today, cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Well, Bill wondered which one I was going to sing. I think that was a high one, Bill. But anyway, I still like that song, don't you? If you have your Bibles, grab and turn over to 2 Kings chapter 22. We'll be going there in just a second. I don't think this is right yet. Tell me when it's right. Is that right? Is that better? Got a new mic, right, Bill? And some new boxes and stuff, so it sounds a lot better today, and thank you for your contribution to that. Last night we had quite a crowd for our fish fry. Does anybody know how many we had? That's where you're supposed to say all of them, you know. I don't think anybody counted, but we had a good turnout, despite St. Francisville having their fish fry as well. We had a good time, and thanks for coming out. This morning we celebrate 246 years of freedom. Amen. And to this day, I want you to know there's no other country I'd rather live in. I'd like to go visit a few of them. I'd like to go see England. I'd love to go visit England and Australia and a few of them out there. But I always want to come back home. It's kind of like going on vacation. You're always glad to go, but it's always good to come back to your house, isn't it? There's nothing like sleeping on your own bed, and that's the way I feel about America. I want you to know, in spite of America being the country I want to live in, it's far from perfect. It's far from the country that it needs to be to this day. Listen to what someone has observed about America. Only in America can pizza get to your house faster than the ambulance. Only in America do drugstores make sick people walk all the way back to the back of the store to get their prescriptions. Yet when you check out at the front desk, you can get all the candy you want. Only in America do people order a large cheeseburger, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave our cars and trucks worth thousands of dollars sitting out in our driveways while our garage, where our car is supposed to go, is full of junk. If that describes you, raise your hand. Shame on you. Only in America do we use answer machines and voicemails to screen our calls, yet we have to have caller ID so that we won't miss anybody that calls us. We do that, don't we? Only in America. Here's a couple more. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. Now, someone told me the other day that they've improved upon that. You can actually get buns in 10 packages. Is that true? I don't know. But only in America. And only in America do we have Braille for the blind on drive-up ATM machines. Only in America. Well, I could go on and on and on, but I won't. But as crazy as America is, it's number one in my book, and I don't think there's a second country that comes even close to us, do you? And I'm glad I live here. I also believe that America, as much as I love it, and as crazy as it is, I believe it's in a moral decline. Does anyone else believe that? I believe in our 246 years of freedom, I believe that each year has progressively declined, not in a good way, but in a bad way. What is the solution for America? I think that we need to reclaim our values. We need to define and live by what is right, and we need to avoid what is wrong. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 11, we have a story of one of the most faithful kings that ever lived. Now, who's the most faithful king that ever lived? King David. This guy, in my book, is number two. And he was only 8 years old when he became king of Judah. Now, he wasn't the youngest. Write this down if you want to. Joash, J-O-H-A-S-H, was the youngest. He was 7 years old when he became king. Now, wouldn't it be great right now if we could have an 8-year-old? No, don't answer that. I do want us to see some very valuable lessons from King Josiah. And I love King Josiah's name so much that I almost named my son Josiah because I like it that much. So I missed out on that, so we named one of our nephews. His name is Josiah. What a beautiful name, and what a great king that King Josiah was. He was the 16th king over Judah, and he was the son of Ammon and the grandson of Manasseh. And here's the thing. His father and his grandfather did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's something I always remember. You remember the spies that went out to spy out Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good, and we sang the song. We've been singing it all of our life. But that's kind of the way it was when you take Israel's kings and Judah's kings. Most of the time, 10 of them were bad, and only 2 of them were good. And Ammon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And Manasseh did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But the Bible tells us that Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Josiah's reign can be divided in 3 stages. You can write some of this down if you want to. At age 8, with the help of some of his faithful advisors, he heeded the laws of God and the practices of King David, and he did what was right in his 31 years as king over Judah. At age 20, he cleansed Jerusalem, the land of Judah, by removing the idols made to Baal and all the other pagan deities that the Israelites were bowing down to. At age 26, Josiah ordered that the temple be repaired under the supervision of Micah the high priest. And in the process of repairing the temple, the book of the law was discovered. And after reading it, the Bible says that Josiah tore his clothes. Now, where had the law of God gone all this time? Sometimes I think about that way of the Bible in our own nation. A lot of people have ignored it. A lot of schools have said you can't take the Bible to school. A lot of colleges won't let you take the Bible to school. And we'll talk more about that later on. But I want you to know, have we forgotten God's Word in America today? I think in so many ways, I believe we have. Now let me read just 11 verses there, and I'll make some applications. So follow along. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedaiah, daughter of Adai. She was from Bozkath. He did what was what? Right in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, don't name your kids this, to the temple of the Lord. He said, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the high priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, if you're taking notes in your bulletin, I believe there's some applications we can learn from this great king, King Josiah. And the first one is this. There is a direct correlation between the morality of a nation and the stability of a nation. If I were to ask you this morning, is America moral and stable? What would you say? No. And I agree with that. I believe that America has plummeted to levels that we never thought it could plummet in 246 years of existence. And I have to say, America is in a moral decline. But most of the moral decline, if you want to define it, happened what I feel was in the 1960s. Listen, if you will. In 1962, without historical and legal precedents, the Supreme Court made it legal for students in some of our bigger schools and many of our smaller schools to pray in school. Yet they have noticed that when we have a school shooting or some tragedy that happens in the school, what do they ask us to do? They ask us to pray. Well, I didn't think we could do that. Maybe, just maybe, the fact that they can't pray in school might contribute to some of the shootings. Anyone else believe that? I do. 1963. They made reading of the Bible illegal in many of our schools. And if you did it, you could go to jail. True story. 1973, they legalized the murder of unborn children, and they called it choice, a woman's right, Planned Parenthood, but God calls it sin. But on June 24, 2022, the Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade, finally. Can we give it up for the Supreme Court? Now, that was a Supreme Court ruling. It has to go to each state and they get to decide. I don't like to use campaigning and legalism in the pulpit. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to pray for Darren Bailey, that he becomes the next governor of Illinois. Because I believe, from what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've studied, he can turn this state around. That's what we need, amen? We need to pray for it. 1980, the Ten Commandments were outlawed by being displayed in many of our schools. You couldn't do that. Their reasoning, and I quote, "If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it would be to induce children to read it, and if they read it and meditate on it, they might follow it." Duh. It's obvious that our school officials and some of our governing officials don't want our kids to adhere to the living Word of God. Can I just say shame on them? I want you to know, if God is going to bless America, we need to reverse some of this dumb stuff. Can I say dumb? Because that's exactly what it is. But until that happens, don't expect a blessing from God. I believe that what happened just a few days ago, I believe that we are ripe for a blessing. I believe that America needs to be blessed. And I believe that the reversing of Roe versus Wade is a step in the right direction. Now, if you're sitting here today and you think that it's okay, then you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you from this pulpit, you better find out that it's wrong now before you stand before the Almighty God. Because every baby that was conceived is a gift of God. The Bible says that God knew us in the womb. He knew us before we were even born, and He loved us. Friends, I want you to know we have to love every unborn child in the world. And I believe it's high time that America regains the morality and stability here in America. And for 246 years, we are a pretty young country, if you think about it. You take nations of Israel and Egypt and all these older countries, America is a baby. Yet we have plummeted in 246 years to a level that is unacceptable. It's also high time that the church regains her strength. I think if things are going to turn around, I believe it begins right here in the church. I believe that men and women taking a stand, and you kids taking a stand at school and college, at work, taking a stand for what is right, is what it's going to take for America to turn around. 2 Chronicles 7:14 pretty much sums it up. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land." And I am so tired of hearing this. When it comes to 2 Chronicles 7:14, that applies only to Israel and not to America. That's baloney. Can you finish this sentence? If the shoe fits, wear it. And if the nation of Israel was in a moral and stable decline, just like we are, then I believe that 2 Chronicles 7:14 applies to us just as much as it did to them. And I believe we are in a moral decline. And I do believe we need to humble ourselves. And I do believe we need to turn from our wicked ways. And I do believe that we need to hear from God and stop hearing from man for what is right and what is wrong. And God will heal our land. He'll bless us. Friends, America is desperately in need of prayer and healing, because there is a direct correlation between the morality of a nation and the stability of a nation. Number two, the spirituality of a nation can be reclaimed. Agree? It can be reclaimed. Apparently, the law of God had been misplaced in the temple. How can they do that? How can they misplace the law of God? It's no wonder they went here, there, and yonder, because they didn't have any instruction book. Friends, I want you to know today, this is our instruction book. Do you know that the average Christian only spends a few minutes a day reading God's Word? And we wonder why our nation is such a mess. We wonder why our families are in such a mess. We wonder why our school system is such a mess. We have negated God's Word. And if you want a blessing from God, you got to get back to the Word. The Bible said that the priest Hilkiah found it, gave it to Josiah, and he ripped his clothes. Now, when you did that in the Bible, it was a sign of mourning or a sign of distress. And he was in sign of distress. And he told the people, let's get back to the Word. Let's get back to God's law. Do you know what America needs more than anything else in our world today? Does anyone want to guess? I believe it needs repentance and revival. Write it down. We need repentance and revival. 2 Kings 22:19 says, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself, and because you tore your robe, a sign of guilt, and you wept in my presence, I heard you, declares the Lord. I want you to know right now that President Biden and Congress needs to get back to the Bible. I don't know if it's true. Correct me sometime later on if it's true. But I have heard that they can actually offer a prayer in the name of Allah when they open up congressional meetings. Is that true? If it is, there's something drastically wrong with America. Friends, I want you to know that America is ripe for revival, and it needs to be revived right now. It needs to happen. We heard about the past Reformation movement with Martin Luther, and we heard men like Alexander Campbell and Barton W. Stone, the Restoration Movement. They brought America back to revival, back to the Word, and it was a time of repentance and confession. Maybe we need a few more Alexander Campbells and Barton W. Stones so that America can be revived again. Can I get an amen? There are a lot of people right now who are searching. There are a lot of young people right now that are searching. They're searching for something. They are not quite sure what it is, but they're searching. Friends, this is where the church comes in. This is where the church comes in, and we need to be helping these young people because they are the future of the church. And if the young people don't learn from God's Word, and they don't adhere from God's Word, and they don't come to church, and they don't study in Sunday school, and they don't learn to pray and meditate, then where are they going to learn it from? At home? Not sure about that one. It needs to be at home if it's the right home. But I'm convinced there are a lot of families that are not right with God, and it's rubbing off on their children. And there's an old saying that says, the nut don't fall too far from the tree, and there's a lot of truth to that. And if you don't pray, and your spouse don't pray, then your kids probably aren't going to pray either. Let's begin today by reclaiming the spirituality of a declining nation. There is an old saying that goes something like this: as the leadership goes, so goes the church. And I believe that is the honest to God truth. But I want to take it a step further. As the family goes, and as the church goes, so goes the nation. I believe that we're only as strong as our family. I believe that we're only as strong as our church. And we need to stop blaming the president and Congress and Senate, etc., etc. And we need to start blaming the family. Because until the family has a stable structure, and until the church has a stable structure, then our children aren't going to be stable either. Is it too late for America? Absolutely not. Can Central Christian Church in Lawrenceville, Illinois make a difference in our world today? Absolutely. One person, one family at a time. Let's begin today. Number three, the third application I see from Josiah is this. If change is to occur, then leadership will depend mostly on the next generation. In Judah, it took an 8-year-old king to reclaim the morality and the stability of a nation. And I truly believe today, if America is going to regain its strength and its spirituality, it's going to become very responsible for the next generation. These people sitting right, these kids sitting right here, it's going to be up to them. I don't know about you, but I don't have the energy I used to have. Everybody, if you have the energy you used to have, go ahead and stand up, because I don't. And I get tired easy, I get sleepy easy, and I can almost sleep in my own sermon sometimes. I get so tired. And it's been one of those weeks. But I want you to know something. We need some energy. We need some revitalization, and I believe it happens with these young kids. And we need to train them the way they're supposed to go. Proverbs 22:6 says, say it with me, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. I believe those years of training do not start when they're in grade school and high school. Those years of training start at the age, where's the baby crying at? Where's he at? I hear him somewhere. Is it him over here? It's right. Okay, Macy admitted to it. Macy, let him cry. That's fine. It doesn't bother me one bit. But I do believe that it's going to be very important that we train that generation of children because they're going to have a lot of responsibility when it comes to the morality of this nation. In Titus 2, verses 1 through 8, Paul says, "Teach what is in accordance with the sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, sound in faith, love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers, but to teach them what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, be self-controlled and pure. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set an example by doing what is good." You catch that? "Set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say against us." It's not on your outlines, but write down Proverbs 22:6 and take that home and meditate on it. Meditate on it for your children. Meditate on it for your grandchildren. And realize the teaching takes place when they're born, and it doesn't ever end until the day that you die. I'm still learning, aren't you? I'm still learning. And I believe that when you dive into God's Word like you're supposed to, it's always a learning process every time you open God's Word. And it begins at a very early age. How many remember the show, Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? I liked the show, but I hated the show. I liked the show because the kids were cute and they were smart. I hated the show because I couldn't answer half the questions they asked. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, I'm not smarter than a third grader. Maybe you are, but I think they were pretty slick, don't you? But you need to remember something from that show. Kids are pretty smart. They pick up on some stuff, and they listen to your speech, and they watch the places you go. They watch what you take in your bodies. They watch all that stuff. They listen to those words that come out of your mouth, and when they say them, you get onto them, and they say this, and I hate it. "Well, you said it, Dad." "I did? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that." Don't you say that. But it happens. Josiah was one of those third graders, and he was pretty smart, made some pretty wise decisions for an 8-year-old kid. Actually, almost saved a nation. They would later be ransacked by the Babylonians because they're unfaithful. Josiah extended that for 31 years of faithfulness. Friends, that's what we need today. We need young people to step up in the position of be willing to be used by God so that they can restore the spirituality and stability of America and the good old U.S. of A. The fourth and final application we learn from the life of Josiah is this: spiritual renewal demands drastic measures. Josiah took drastic measures in getting the Israelite people back to the Word of God. He tore down the pagan idols, the ones that they worshipped to Baal. He tore them down and he burned them. He called for a national revival and he got Israel back to the book. Friends, we need to get America back to the book. We need to get America back in the Word. And when you're having troubles and heartaches and things go wrong in your life, don't avoid God's Word. Fling to it and read it. And if spiritual renewal is going to take place in America, it will begin with the good old book of God. Patrick Henry once said, "It cannot be emphasized too strong or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religion, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ." I couldn't agree more. George Washington said in his farewell address, "Do not let anyone claim tribute of American patriotism if they even attempt to remove religion from politics." And I've heard this all my life. Don't mix religion with politics. It causes problems. But when our country has ridiculed the absolute truth of God's Word and called it pluralism, we need to say something. And when our nation has allowed the worship of other gods and they've called it multiculturalism, we need to say something. And when our country has endorsed perversions and called it alternate lifestyles, we need to say something. And when they have neglected the poor and the widowed and called it self-preservation, we the church need to say something. When they have rewarded laziness and called it welfare, the church needs to say something. When they have allowed the killing of the unborn children and called it choice, we need to say something. And we have taken discipline out of our schools and called it self-esteem building, we need to say something. And when they have abused their power and called it political savvy, we need to say something. And when they have ridiculed time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment, friends, the church needs to say something. Let me ask you a question. Can we completely take politics out of the church? No. And as your minister, I want you to know something. When some ain't right, I'm going to say something. And it may offend some politicians, but I don't really care. I don't answer to them. I answer to God. And part of the problem in America is ministers have not got a backbone enough to say something when something's not right. Friends, we need to say something. And it is high time for Americans to pull their head out of the sand. And it's high time for Christians and the church to pull their head out of the sand and stand up for what is right. And even if it involves politics in the church, then so be it. We can't ignore it anymore. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed means what? Happy. And the only way we'll ever receive happiness, true spiritual happiness, is to make God our Lord. Can America receive a blessing from God once again? I think so. Can America reclaim the values of yesteryear? I think so. And I think it's high time that America be blessed by God once again. God bless America. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I love this nation. I don't love what it's become. Lord, we're ripe for a blessing. Lord, I thank you for what happened with Roe versus Wade. What a devastating sin. Millions and almost billions of babies murdered from 1970s till now, Lord. It's been reversed. Lord, help it to be reversed in the state. Lord, help people to realize it's a sin. It's not a choice, it's a sin. Lord, help us to wake up. Wake up and do what's right. Anytime you pull limbs from a baby and throw them in the trash can, that can't be godly. Lord, forgive us of that sin. Help us to be healed so that we might be ripe for a blessing from you. And Lord, please bless America. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.